message is called The Gift of Prophecy, and I think it's basically we're looking at just understanding not so much what prophecy is, but that there is prophecy out there and what that prophecy could mean for us. So with that in mind, let me just open in prayer. I always invite God to be with us as we do the message. So Father, we do appreciate your word. We appreciate being able to share and to be able to put a collection of scripture verses together to make a message that that rings true to you. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit can work you know, through the voice here and through these scriptures to touch each individual, and that we can share accordingly with others. Then this we pray through Christ. Amen. So we're going to begin with a prophecy that, you know, we typically see during the Christmas season. It's going to be Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And it reads like this here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So we look at this, and I'm sure during Isaiah's time, you know, the people didn't know what was being prophesied at this time, but we have that, what they call that 2020 vision, where we can look back and we can see, oh yeah, we know exactly what that scripture means. And that we have you know, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And we know who this is. This is, you know, the prophecy of the Christ that was to come. And with that, we look at, in this prophecy, is that there's things that are yet to be even discovered. When we look at this, and it says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And we know that God has the Wonderful Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And really, God is God, is whether we have the Trinity or the individuals within the Trinity. And that is pretty cool to be able to have that. We talk about Mighty God, you know, and the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All of these things reference God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In this prophecy, we look at it just the Son, but there's other things in here too we need to be looking at, is that, like it says, the increase of his government and peace will be no end, which means that his government will grow and his peace will grow, and it will continue to grow forever and forever and forever and for all eternity. And then we have this, you know, aspect that, you know, that he'll reign over on David's throne and over his kingdom, and establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And that there's going to be a time where God reigns and reigns 100%. And so within this small two-verse section of Scripture, there's a lot in there. And it says it's only going to happen through the Lord, and that he's the one that will accomplish this. It's he that has ordained it. It's he who is to he's he that makes the prophecy in order for it to, you know, for to let us know. And it's so neat in a sense of realizing that there is a long-term aspect. This is not just a person coming into the term for an office, but someone that will be in office, if you want to call that, a position of leadership, forever. And he's going to reign forever and ever and ever. And how neat that is, because it just never ends. And within that government, and the people that are within under that government, will be looking and recognizing Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, for who they are. It doesn't say anything that's going to be division coming out. It doesn't say anything that there's going to be a separation. It's everything that will be there together as a whole, as a unity. And that's what we're looking at with this. And so it's not just about Christ coming it's kind of about what is to come even after Christ's initial coming here. Because we look at, in Deuteronomy, this is a prophecy that was being said in chapter 18, verse 17 and 20. It says, "The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything that I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death.'" Now, this is what the Lord says, is that the prophecy that he gives is good, and it is always good. It's for the betterment of his people, and it is a way for God to share with other people. It's usually through an individual, and sometimes that individual, that prophet, would either hear things in a dream or in a trance, maybe even. Moses was kind of special, you know. Moses was almost that face-to-face God, and Moses type of relationship. And so not all prophets tend to have the same type of relationship with God. But in this point here, it says that the prophecy has a purpose to it, right? And he says that if anyone doesn't listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Which tells us we need to be listening and looking towards that, within that prophecy, and being obedient to it. But it also sounds like there's going to be some false prophets that are out there. So we have to have this level of discernment as to what prophets are, God ordained, or which ones are not God ordained. That's going to be setting up on there. And it's going to be important for us to be able to do that and to know the difference. I think the only way we can really know is by having a relationship with God and a close relationship with him. And as we read Scripture, everything that's been prophesied in Scripture should correspond to the things that are spoken basically by God. And to hold those prophets accountable, and to realize that there's certain prophets in Scripture where their prophecy becomes true. Those are the ones that have been ordained by God. And then there's other prophets in Scripture where there's prophecy does not come true. And those are the ones that are not ordained by God. And so we look at this, and the words that are spoken here is that we need to listen to those words. We need to follow through on those words spoken by the prophet. And it brought me back to the point of during that moment where James, Peter, James, and John were up on the mount of what they call the Transfiguration, where Christ all of a sudden started to glow. And then there was Isaiah it was Moses, and who else was with him on the mount of Transfiguration there? At any rate, as they were up there, all of a sudden from the clouds there was something that was spoken by God himself. And let me share that with you. In Mark 9:7 it says, "Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" Now, these are the very words that God says for the people around Jesus, is to listen to what Jesus says. Now, Jesus is kind of we know who he is, you know, the Son of God, and but he even says, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. And I'm sure he only heals those where the Father tells him to heal. And recognizing and seeing everything that Christ has done, we have these simple words that from God the Father that says, listen to him. Because when we listen to him, then we know what we're supposed to do. We know that what is to come. We know what the purpose of why Christ even came. And we celebrate that during this Christmas season here, but much more so than just celebrating a Christmas season where we're giving gifts or we're looking at Santa Claus or we have Christmas trees. But what we really need to do is to focus in on the real reason for Christmas, and that is the coming of Christ and what all of that actually means for us. So when we recognize that Christ came to die on the cross for us, you see, there was an awful lot of prophecy about that. And in Psalm 22, which is I'm going to read now, is that psalm is all about Christ and what he went through, which is horrendous, what he went through and all of that. But this is what he came to do. And in this Christmas season, we need to be reflecting also of what Christ came to do and what was to happen to him. So we think about, as we read Psalm 22, I'm going to read the whole thing, and you get this word here, very first verse, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember, those are the very words that Jesus Christ said on the cross. Maybe it was a reflection of what he was going through in terms of what the sin that he was bearing. But I've also heard it as a reminder of Psalm 22, that all of this was prophesied before, that every bit of it has come true and is coming true. And we'll get right to the very end and we'll recognize that the gift of prophecy, it gives us a hope that we have that other people don't have. So it says, I'll start again, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. You cried out, and were saved. Or to you they cried out, and were saved. In you they trusted, and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Again, the very words that were spoken when Jesus was being crucified. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You had made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Again, prophecy that's come true. But you, Lord, Do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. For you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the world will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And I look at this right at the very end, is that they will proclaim his righteousness, declare to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And that gives us such hope that the words of this prophecy, even though it was written, you know, probably by King David, and thinking that it was in reference to him, but the prophecy is one of those things where, yeah, it fits at his current time. It actually fits kind of in our current time, but it also fits in the time of Christ in terms of where he is in the future of all of that. And it's so neat to have that gift of prophecy, because within that gift, there's a hope that we have. And that hope is sometimes the thing that that we need to hang on to, and to know that in the end, Christ wins. And those who hang close to him, they win as well because of him. And not only that, we have this prophecy in the time where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and saying that he's going to be going away. But he also says this here. Oh, I forgot the Isaiah one. Let me go here to Isaiah 48, verses 3 through 6, where not only does it talk about prophecy that in the sense of good things, but why he does the prophecy. He says, I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them, and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. For I knew how stubborn you were. The sinews of your neck were iron, your forehead was bronze. Therefore I told you these things long ago, before they happened. I announced them to you so that you could not say, my idols did them, my wooden image and metal god ordained them. You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? And the idea is like, God speaks things before it happens, not just to show that he's omnipotent and knowing everything in the past, present, and future, but to let us know that he is in control, that he, when he speaks, it is truth. And it's when he speaks, we need to listen. That when there is prophecy by God, that there are words in there that we need to hold on to and make that part of the foundation of who we are and our hope for what is to come. Because we are, like he says, a stiff-necked people. You know, there's a lot of times, it's, what's the saying? It's like, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, what God is saying, believe it before you see it, because I have spoken it. And that's not always easy for us to do. Because when he says that, that he acted suddenly, that suddenly is like forever waiting until it finally happens, and all of a sudden, boom, then God moves. But there's a time where he just waits and waits and waits for just the right moment for His work to be done. And we look at that and recognize that that's God, and that His timing is perfect, not ours, in all of this. So when He says this in John 14, 28 and 29, He says, "You heard Me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love Me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I, and I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Where does that come from? Where's that saying come from? "I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." You know, that, and that's, what is it that Jesus is saying? "I am going away, and I am coming back to you." You see, that is the great hope that we have in the prophetic word that Christ is saying here Himself, that "I am going to be going away and I'm going to be coming back to get you." Now remember, God says, listen to Him. So these very words, we need to listen that He is coming back. And we look at some of the other prophecy is that He is going to be around forever. And He's going to be our King forever. And that's just the thing that we really have. So here's a scripture. This Philippians talks about kind of like current times. And something that we need to understand, maybe just what's being spoken. But it says Philippians 3, 18 through 21. It reads as this. "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." Right? So there's many that are out there that are not Christian and refuse to be Christian. Right? And that's really what it's saying. And He says it with tears because He knows their final destiny, which it says their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. So when He's talking about their stomach, it's just their flesh, basically. And whatever the flesh wants, that's what the flesh gets. No restraint, no control. And that could be, you know, for the, you know, the wilds of the world, whether it's, you know, they just want to, you know, do gluttony. If they want to fill their spirit with lust, if they want to fill their spirit with just material things, that's what that's all about. And all of that leads to destruction. It says that their mind is on earthly things. And you, so you're looking at the non-Christian. This is where their focus is. But us, and He says, right? "But our citizenship is in heaven." So this thing of the earth really doesn't mean anything to us. It doesn't carry any weight because those things perish. But there's things in heaven that never perish. And that's where our hope is. That's where our focus is. And it says, "And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Now again, this is the prophetic word of what is to come. And we know that Christ is coming back for us. And at that point, He will bring us to Him. And that it'd be a point where we're transformed, you know, to be in His glory. And that glory is going to be surrounding us and it's going to be in us. And that's what we're looking for. And we know that there's troubles on this earth. There's still those people that will never, ever accept Christ and what He has done for us. But we, as believers, believe the prophetic word that's been spoken about Christ and the future that it has. And that's what gives us hope. So here's some more looking. We're going to go to Titus, looking at the hope that we have as Christians. So Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Right? That's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit all the way through. "It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ,
who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." So this kind of sums up what we're supposed to be doing now. Right? We're supposed to be living as if Christ is here now. And we know that the world lives a completely different life than what God wants us to live. And it's not that easy to do it, but we are taught, right, by the Holy Spirit to say no and to choose how to live accordingly with God and to please Him and not just please ourselves or please the people around us. Because we know that God is going to come again. Here's that other aspect in that prophetic word that of what we're supposed to do. Yeah. And sometimes it's easy to do. Sometimes it seems like it's hard. Either way, God's word has been spoken. And the prophetic word speaking is that we need to live differently as the world lives. Because it makes a difference for the in reference to our witness for Christ. And this is really what we want. We want people to come to Christ because it's said in the previous scripture that there are those that refuse to come to Christ. And their future is destruction. Our future is life. And we want everyone to be able to have that life. And it seems like a lot on us in terms of how we live, the things we say, the way we react could bring people to Christ or it could turn people away from Christ. And so in this, Titus is speaking to us in terms of the way we live is very important, even in a sinful world. So we start looking at future events. You know, this is how we're supposed to do now. What's going to be happening in the future? Well, in 2 Timothy, Paul is speaking to Timothy in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and it says this: "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge." Right? So we're looking at again that his talking about his appearing and his kingdom coming. He says, I give you this charge: preach the word. What does it mean to preach the word? Pretty easy. You're doing it. We're doing it right now. We're taking God's word and we're sharing God's word. Why do we share God's word? Because they are the very words of God, and God says to listen to them. Preach the word. It says, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Oh, really? Has anybody seen this? Has anybody realized that there are people that go to particular gatherings because they just want to hear what they want to hear, and they don't want to hear the truth sometimes? It says they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, to think about that in the sense of people just want to hear what they want to hear. They don't care whether it's the truth or not. They just want to speak it and keep speaking the lies and lies and lies. Because that's what people want to hear. And it might give them recognition. But in the end, what it does, it gives them destruction. Death. In the future, men will not put up with sound doctrine. That's what we have to look forward to on this earth. But regardless of that, we are to listen to God's word and put his word into action. And it's the gift of prophecy that we have to be able to be encouraged, because we see the end result of not following Christ. And we see the end result of following Christ. And that's the 2020 vision forward that we have. And that's what gives us the strength to be able to do that. One last scripture verse I've got is the book of Revelation. It's the very end of the Bible. And it says this in chapter 22, verses 18 through 21. And I'll just end with this. It says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Just so you know, the plagues are not very good. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. All right, those are the really good things. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord will be with God's people. Amen. So we look at the celebration that we about to embark, you know, in a few weeks here at Christmas, and we recognize the coming of Christ through a baby. But our focus now isn't looking back to that moment, but our focus now is looking towards the returning of Christ. Because that's where our focus needs to be. And we can thank God for the gift of prophecy, because it's that which can sustain us, that when God speaks, it is truth. And we need to listen, and we need to act, and put our hope and our life in those words, because they are true. Amen. Amen.